The wounds of Calvary certainly make Christ a marked man, because those wounds mean liberty to those who will trust him. I'll say that again. The wounds of Calvary certainly make Christ a marked man, because those wounds mean liberty to those who will trust him. You know, it's been my experience in 51 years that people like to boast about a lot of different things. People like to boast about their specific team. Mine happens to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Others happen to be a different team. Orange and black, I think, is their local colors, or green and yellow. But it's been my experience that it's not too far from very many people to boast about something. If it's not a sports team, it's their career. If it's not their career, it's their heritage, or maybe the vehicle they drive or the place that they live. I've even met people who boast about their humility, and that's pretty sad. Like people today who boast in their spirituality, there were some Jews in this letter at the church at Galatia who boasted in being a Jew, which were some of the most racist people on the planet, even at the time. But Paul, by the way, even though he was a Jew of Jews, and even though he was a very religious and strict Jew, he decided to boast in a crucified and risen Savior. Instead of boasting about all that he could have boasted about, according to the book of Philippians, he gloried here in the cross. But God forbid that I should glory except in one thing, he said, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, this does not mean that he gloried in the brutality of the cross. Certainly, it doesn't mean that Paul was very happy that Jesus suffered on the cross. Rather, he was not looking at the cross as a piece of wood on which some criminal died. He was looking at the cross of Christ and glorying in that. Amen. Why would Paul glory in the cross? Why would he make such a big deal? I mean, after all, we just read in our devotions, he was stoned and left for dead. Why would he get up from there? By the way, for preaching the gospel when he was told not to do it. Why would he get up from there and immediately go into Iconium? What would drive a man? Of all the things that he could boast of, he could have boasted that he was doing whatever he wanted to do. He was a Pharisee, and he was blameless of the law. Of all the things that he could have, he decided to boast in the one thing that almost killed him. The cross of Jesus Christ. I think there's three simple reasons why he did. I wonder if we could glory in the cross today. I wonder if you could take from this message, I wonder if you could just take the challenge of that one verse and say, man, if God in Colossians 1 said it pleased the Father that to by the blood of Jesus to remove the sins of the world, if that's what it means to glory in the cross, then count me in. I wonder today if we could leave here and instead of searching the darkness and instead of bowing to the darkness, that we could just glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. That would be the joy of the Lord. That would be our strength. Well, if you're going to glory in the cross of Christ, first of all, you have to know the person of the cross. That's why Paul was glorying and could glory, because he said it was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is mentioned at least 45 times in the letter to Galatia. Now, that's amazing to me, which means that one third of the verses contain some reference to Christ. That's amazing. 45 times. It wasn't that Paul knew about the Lord Jesus. A lot of people know that Jesus was real, that he died on a cross, that it was real. They know about the Lord Jesus. It wasn't that Paul knew about the Lord Jesus or just that he was saved. Jesus Christ captivated Paul. Completely enthralled and encapsulated Paul. And it was Christ who made the cross glorious to him. There would be plenty of people, and there would be plenty of people who would die on a cross, but their name wasn't Jesus Christ. Right. According to his own words in both his letters to the Galatians and even to the Philippians, Paul had much to glory in as a Jewish rabbi. But after he met Jesus Christ, his self-glory turned into refuse. His self-glory turned into dung, the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He went on to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is what he said, of whom I am chief. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't even make sense. He was a Pharisee, a Jew, a rabbi, strict concerning the law, blameless friend, never did one thing wrong according to the law. And he looked at the face of Christ and compared to Jesus, a very religious and very determinedly strict man, was the chiefest of sinners. Howbeit, he said, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And this was his concluding statement. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And he sealed it. Amen. You see, the legalist here in Galatia, or people who believe that you must become Jewish in order to be saved, that's who he's writing to. They didn't glory in the cross of Christ because they did not glory in Christ. They didn't need a Savior. The law was all they needed. All they needed was to obey the Ten Commandments. All they needed was to keep the rabbinical law. And as long as they did that, they were fine. They didn't need Jesus. It was Moses and themselves who got all the glory. They did not really know the person of the cross, much like the false religions of today that teach a false gospel of works-based salvation. They don't need Jesus to save them because they're doing all they can to save themselves. I walked by a church today here in Gilroy, and a man took off his mask and went up to a statue and kissed the face and both hands and the feet of Mary. I saw him do his best to try to get Mary's attention. Read a banner about how Mary said we're to pray the rosary. By the way, she never said that. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words, listen, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud. Knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings, even surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Paul was animate about the person of Christ. Why? Because he knew about him? No, because he knew him personally. How important is it really to know Jesus personally? I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In fact, he said, many will say unto me, Jesus' words, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It seems to me that the Bible is very clear. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing the Lord Jesus. Paul gloried in the cross because he knew the person of the cross. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you'd be in heaven? I spent almost 2 hours on Thursday witnessing to a man. He asked an array of questions, one of the most unbelievable appointments I've ever had. And by the way, he didn't pray and trust Christ as his Savior. That would have been the only thing that would have made it better. I said to him at the end of the appointment, it wasn't even an appointment, really. He came in. By the way, he said, I bet this happens all the time, doesn't it? I said, not as often as I'd like to happen. So you're telling me that you don't do this with all the reps that come by? I said, no, I wish. And he goes, wow. I said, you know, you've asked a lot of good questions. I said, but at the end of the day, you've got to be 100% sure if you died, you'd be in heaven. And I said, I can't do that for you. I said, my job is to point you to the one that can. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And though he did not, he said, you know, I'm actually excited to talk to my wife about this. I can't wait to have the conversation. I said, I can't wait either. And he said he would follow up with me. Pray for him. Because he wants to know. He said, I said to him at the end, I said, have you ever had anybody explain this to you at all? He said, not like that. And you know what I did? I just told him what the Bible says. Because the Bible is what tells us who Jesus is. That's why when people get saved, I said, look, you need to read John chapter 3. And I always say this because you need to know, I'm sorry, the book of John, because you need to know who Jesus is. And the more that you know who he is, the more you'll know. In fact, he said to me, if we decide to do this, great question. If we decide to do this, how do we know what to do next? How do we know what we need to do after that? He said this, do we need to go somewhere? Is there someone else that teaches us that? Is there something that I said, no, or can we do it on our own? Yes. I said, yeah. Or do we just have to be taught by you? I said, well, the preaching of the word of God is ordained of God. It's the power of God, the Bible says. I said, but I'm going to give you a Bible if you do that. Really? Yeah. He said, I feel vulnerable. That's a great statement. You know what? Deep down in his heart, he wants to know. He wants to know Jesus. He wants Jesus to change his life. That's, by the way, how you know Jesus. Because your life is different. He admitted that to me and David. You see, Paul could glory in the cross because it wasn't his cross. It wasn't just a cross. It was the cross of Christ. He could glory in it because he knew the person of the cross. Secondly, if you're going to glory in the cross, you have to know the power of it. The power of the cross. You see, to Saul, the learned Jew, a doctrine of sacrifice on a cross was completely, utterly preposterous. It was a cursed thing that the Messiah would come, he had no doubt. But that he would come to die and then to die on a cursed tree? Well, there was no place in Saul's theology for that. That just did not make any sense. There's no way I'm going to trust in a suffering Savior. There's no way. Because when the Messiah comes, he has to come the way I determine. He has to do things the way I expect it to be done. And all of his friends missed it. But one day, Saul of Tarsus experienced the power of the cross and he became Paul the Apostle. Why? Because he met who hung on it. He met Jesus. The cross ceased to be a stumbling block to Paul. It was no longer an offense. Instead, it became the very foundation stone of his message. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What happened? He became a believer. And the fact that he put his faith in the cross of Calvary changed his life forever. In fact, he said in 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. You see, the power of the cross changed Paul's life. When you study Paul's life and testimony, you see that for him, the cross meant liberty, but not just from sin. You see, everybody wants to go to heaven. I've never met someone that said, I'd like to go to hell. No one's ever said that to me. In fact, 100% of the people that I have asked, are you a sinner? They have always said yes. Always. Whether it's their own standard or someone else's standard, they will always agree with that. You see, when you study Paul's life, though, it wasn't just a matter of, now I'm free, I get to go to heaven. No, it was liberty from much more than that. First of all, it was liberty from self. In fact, he said that in Galatians chapter 2. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Get it? Paul could be secure in his identity in Christ. Listen, He didn't have to worry about what people thought about him. He didn't have to worry about what people thought about where he went, about what he ate, about what decisions that he made. He wasn't looking for the approval of someone else. He said, I could care less about myself. Instead, I'm free to live in faith and Jesus Christ. That is my identity. He was free from self. You see, he was free to live like and for the Son of God. Not only did he know him, he was free to be like him. He was free from self. It's liberty. It meant liberty from self. Secondly, it also meant liberty from the flesh. In the same letter, you could turn there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. You see, because Jesus learned obedience at the cross, because Jesus submitted himself to die to his personal will, Paul found that through the same process, he could be free from his own passions. He could be delivered from his own desires that are against God's will. Every person that I've ever talked to about contemplating being saved and trying to think about that, immediately in their heart, the Holy Spirit says, you and I both know that if you trust Christ, things are going to have to change. They know it innately. I've had people shake in my presence because they know their life would be different and they don't trust Christ. I've had people, on the other hand, get saved and the next morning go to work and turn off the music. They just decided, look, whatever is going on, and I don't have a Bible verse to declare it, but I know it's not resonating with the Holy Spirit of God in me, so I can't be a part of that. That's awesome. That's better than good. It's miraculous. You see, for Paul, he was free from self. He was free from the flesh. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul said the very next chapter, I find in a law. He goes through chapter 7 in Romans and he says, look, I want to do some good things, but I end up not doing those things, and I do these things over here, and it's frustrating to me. He goes, I find a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. And that's the same for everyone in this room. But he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Even though I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ah, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. You see, for him, it was liberty. He could glory in the cross because of what the cross was doing in his life. I didn't have to worry about promoting self or what other people think about me. I don't need to have that voice. I can worry about what Jesus is doing in me and live by faith. And I can be free from what my flesh wants to do. It also meant liberty from the world. In the verse that we read, look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Someone said, in the death and resurrection of Christ, the power of God is released to give believers deliverance and victory. So it's no longer we who live. It's Christ who lives in us and through us. As we yield to him, we have victory over the world and the flesh. Now, the word world there is the same as in 1 John chapter 2, and it talks about the world's system. Everything that the world stands for, everything that the world is pining for, everything the world is driving for, God says through the power, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you're free not to worry about what the world says or does. It's not about them anyway. It's about me. That's why he said what he said. The power of the cross of Christ was to destroy all that Satan had done, to pervert, to distort, and destroy by sin and lies. And Paul lived it every day. 1 John 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, listen, for this purpose, because of that statement, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And see, we think, oh, that means the devil's not at work. You have really got to read your Bible. Because the devil is working overtime. He's a lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I will tell you, he is gobbling up sinner and saint alike in 2020. But through Christ, he's dead to me and I'm dead to him. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Listen, lest the cross of Christ, listen to the words, should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But for us which is saved, it is the power of God. If you're going to glory in the cross of Christ, you have to know the person of Christ. You also got to know and be living in the power of the cross. The power of the cross of Christ is what will make a difference when you're stuck at home. And you're starting to think about the gloom of disease or the darkness of division or even the shadow of death. Though all the world lives in darkness, there is a light that comes from Calvary. There is a joy that fills my soul because there is victory in Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus' sacrifice for our sin provides freedom on every level of my life. That's what Paul could glory in. Remember this. The world doesn't care if you're religious. It doesn't. In fact, it approves of religion apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that. Remember that. The world doesn't care if you're religious. In fact, they'll promote it as long as it has nothing to do with the cross of Calvary. Did you know in 53 countries in the world today, the cross is banned? You cannot wear it. You cannot display it. You can't hang it from your rearview mirror. Why is that? I thought all those countries were a religion of peace. No, because Satan is the god of this world. He approves of religion as long as it doesn't change anybody. He approves of even legalism as long as we don't get it to take us to the cross. Paul could glory in the cross because he knew the person, he knew the power. But if you and I are going to do it, we also got to know, thirdly, and I'm done, the purpose. The purpose of the cross. Let's go back to our text. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. By the way, don't let that confuse you. He's talking about being a Jew or not a Jew. Because the mark of a Jew was circumcision. That was a sign given by God to them. So when the Bible reveals the words circumcision or uncircumcision, it's just talking about Jew or Gentile. Because you see, to the Jew, there's only two races, Jew and Gentile. But according to the Bible, there's only one race. It's called the human race. Now watch. Here he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or Jew, the Bible says, availeth anything, or non-circumcision or non-Jewish. But notice what it says, but a new creature. Look at verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, watch, and upon the Israel of God. Now, I got to admit, when I first read that, I thought, okay, why is he talking about circumcision, uncircumcision? And then he makes the statement, the Israel of God. Is he going back to that? But that's not the case, because he talks about in verse 15, a new creature. And up until this point, we've never heard of the Israel of God. It's something new. What's the purpose of the Christ? I'm sorry, of the cross. It was to bring into the world a new people of God. You see, for centuries, the nation of Israel had been the people of God. And the law had been their way of life. All of this was preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. Just read Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now that Christ had come, by the way, it says that the law was our schoolmaster bringing us unto Christ. Now that Christ had come and finished his great work of redemption, God set aside the nation of Israel for now, and he brought into the world a new creation, a new nation. Paul describes it as the Israel of God. God set aside Israel, and what did he do? He created the church. An assembly free from racial or national distinctions. Completely void of Jew or Gentile. Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Listen, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That's what he said in the same letter. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Free from the labels of humanity, God says, I'm creating a new Israel. I'm calling her my bride. Amen. I'm calling her the church. I'm calling her the called out ones and the set aside ones. I'm calling her the family of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you get it? Listen carefully. You were the purpose. The church of the living God was born through the cross of our Savior to perpetuate generations of people who know Jesus and the power of his cross. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen, listen, generation, a royal priesthood, get it, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? They've never existed. Before the church, it was Israel. God said, you've rejected me. I've got a perfect plan. It's not just about you, though it comes through you. It's for everybody who will believe. Yeah. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the old creation was headed by Adam, and it ended in failure. The new creation is headed by Christ, and it will succeed according to the promise of God. Matthew chapter 16, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Amen. My challenge to you this morning as you examine yourself before the Lord is through this question. In what do you glory in more than anything? Well, I glory in my work. Well, I glory in my athletic ability. I glory in my intelligence. I glory in my hard work. I glory in my riches. I glory in the fact that I drive a Maserati. By the way, I do not. But I know a guy. What do you glory in more than anything? You know, some people glory in their children more than anything. More than anything. What do you glory in more than anything? What do you boast of? Paul said, for me, God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. Trust me, I know many times it's much easier to glory in a sports team. It's much easier to glory in a raise or in a job well done or in a personal ability or a uniqueness of skill. But all that is bondage. All of that is enslavement. All of that is confinement and servitude. Jesus Christ died to free you of that. To free you from the sin of such glory. By the way, God will not share his glory with anybody. Will you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 this morning? Oh, that every Christian during this time of questions and doubts and fears would come to the place where we could say, as a united body of Christ, God, I want to glory in one thing, your cross. I want that to be my banner. I want that to be my focus. There's a lot of things we could boast of. Paul was talking about that in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 7. After he gives his royal pedigree of religiosity, he said, but those things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then notice what he says. I want you to underline this in your Bible. For whom I have suffered. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, the things that I do, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by what? Faith. And then notice what he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowships of his suffering. And then he goes back to the cross and being made conformable unto his death. And I want to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't want to glory in anything that I'm doing or anything even that we're doing, but rather I want to glory in him. I want to glory in what he's done. That's why we're here. Jeremiah 9 verse 24. Jeremiah 9, 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time in your word. I'm thankful for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. God, I'm so grateful for, Lord, just the truth. And God, I've got to confess, in my life, I've boasted about a lot of many things, and I've boasted about them too much and too well. Many days of my life, I've spent trying to know things about really other things that don't matter, when I should have been desiring to know you more. God, forgive us where we've not gloried in your cross. Forgive us where we've not walked in the power of your cross. And we've forgotten the purpose. God, you have put us here on this earth so that the gospel wouldn't stay with us. We're not a depository. Lord, we're to be a conduit. And God, I pray for the people sitting here and the people listening online, your Holy Spirit would use us to glory in the cross that others might be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this morning, are you 100% sure if you died right now that you'd be in heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Are your sins forgiven? Are they gone? Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that for sure. I don't know Jesus. But I do know this. I'm a sinner and I know that I need to be saved. In my heart of hearts, I need to be saved and I want to be saved today. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Anybody like that? Just put it up and put it down. I see that hand. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I don't know Jesus personally. And if I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Anybody else like that? I won't point you out. I won't come to you. I promise. I do want to try to help you. Anybody else?